Morning.
Today's daf in Shvachim is Nun Aleph. We're in Nun Amud Beis. We're halfway down on the Amud, and we are going to start today with Kal Vachomer. The Gemara that we started with yesterday, continue with today. Actually, truth of the matter is that you can go back to Memtes Amud Beis, where the Gemara started over there. Lends us to a discussion which is perhaps technical in nature. And the Gemara does not take a step backwards to like look at it from the grander scale of strength of darshaning. Meaning, we're looking really primarily at four different methods of darshaning. We're looking at Hekesh, Gezeirah Shavah, Kal Vachomer, and Binyanav. And what we're essentially doing is trying to see what happens when we compound them one on top of another, and can we create a drush. Now, the Gemara already pointed out very clearly, back on the bottom of Memtes Amud Beis, this is strictly a kachem discussion. Meaning, when it comes to other areas of Torah, seemingly all other areas in Torah, so creating compound limudim would seemingly not be a problem, meaning that you could create a limud that is built one on top of another, and seemingly, it wouldn't matter what exactly the combination is going to be. You can make Kal Vachomer on top of Gezeirah Shavah, et cetera, et cetera. But in Kachem, in the world of Kachem, however, we're going to be limited, we're going to be restricted in terms of what we can do. Making one limud for sure is going to be acceptable, but making a compound limud, sometimes it's going to be okay and sometimes it's not going to be okay. Now, what the Gemara doesn't give us is any kind of ground rules, meaning the Gemara doesn't tell us, well, it's going to be good over here because, and it's bad over here because, and so what we don't have is we don't have any of the explanations in terms of why it should be. Why should be, in other words, first of all, the overarching question, which I could ask, and I certainly don't have a proposal, in terms of why it is what we are limited by Kachim, meaning by Kachim, creating a double limud under certain circumstances is not going to be acceptable. Why should that be? Okay, good. Good meaning, it's a good question, and I don't have anything from the overarching standpoint. And even on the micro standpoint, meaning why in this particular case it's okay and in this particular case it's not okay, again, it certainly begs explanation and the Gemara does not provide one. Nor do the Rishonim as they appear on the daf. So that's something else to realize. And really, we all understand what's going on over here. Basically, the Limudim are getting graded. But in other words, it's not that simple to grade them because in one direction it works, in another direction doesn't work. And so why should that be? So again, a lot of the bigger questions, which I don't have answers to, and so we're going to get a little bit lost in the details and the technicalities of what works and what doesn't work. And in terms of the bigger questions of why, obviously that would be much more satisfying to all of us if I can give you the whys of the matter. So I'm just simply, you know, I'm not to that pay grade yet where I can explain to you the whys, but I, you know, to the best of my ability, though, I will go through the Gemara and explain to you the what. You know, what can be used as in terms of a drasha. With that stated, so we are up to Kal Vachomer. The Gemara over here is super organized and super structured in terms of the way it's presenting it. It's basically every permutation. In other words, we started the Gemara yesterday's daf, really on Memtes Amud Beis, started with Hekesh, and basically compounded everything to Hekesh. In other words, it's ABC, not literally, but it's ABC, meaning I'm going to learn from A to B, and then I'm going to learn from B to C, and now it's just a question of how I'm getting from A to B, and then how I'm going to get from B to C. So in the first round, we went A to B being Hekesh, meaning, so what happens now if I learn from A to B through a Hekesh, and then I go from B to C through Hekesh, Gezeirah Shavah, Kal Vachomer, and Binyanav. And the Gemara went through all four. Some of them the Gemara said was okay, some of the Gemara said were unacceptable. Go back to yesterday's daf for a review of that. That was round one. Round two was yesterday's daf, was Gezeirah Shavah. So Gezeirah Shavah, and then I compound on top of Gezeirah Shavah, either, and it's the same, it's also the same, it's the same order. I compound on top of Gezeirah Shavah A Hekesh, A Gezeirah Shavah, and then A Kal Vachomer, and then A Binyanav. Okay, and once again, that was round two, and that was a good part of yesterday's daf. We're going to start today with Kal Vachomer. So Kal Vachomer is going to begin now on Nun Amud Beis, and it's starting a little bit less than halfway down the Amud. It's Davar Lamed BeKal Vachomer, Mashi Lamed BeHekesh. Okay, what I have noted in my Gemara is 1C. Right, when, in other words, when I went through the Gemara, so basically I went 1A, right, 1B, 1, right, 1C, 1D, 2A, 2B, 2C, 2D. Okay, whatever, my own annotations, if you will. you get everything. Okay, so we're up to round three. Round three, we're now going to be discussing Kal Vachomer and whether or not Limudim could be created through a Kal Vachomer. But again, we're talking really about compounding it, compounding a kavachomer on top of. So devilemim be kavachomer, ashelemim be hekesh. So kavachomer now, and I'm going to compound, I'm going to try to compound hekesh on top of kavachomer, and does that work? So in other words, we're going from A to B through a kavachomer, and after having learned the halacha to B through a kavachomer, we're going to go from B to C through a hekesh. So does that work, yes or no? So the Gemara over here, so, and this is where now the Gemara gets really interesting. Gemara says, you know what? I'm gonna conclude based on a kavachomer, meaning I'm gonna learn out whether or not we can compound a kavachomer and a hekesh on top of a kavachomer, and I'm gonna use the method of kavachomer in order to arrive at that conclusion. Is that confusing? Sure, it's confusing. But the Gemara says, but here's how we're gonna do it. So kavachomer. So the Gemara says, look, I know that the Igzerishava is not going to be learned through a hekesh, via hekesh. And meaning that, in other words, if I go from hekesh to Xerishava, it simply does not work. And how do I know that? So, midi Rav Yochanan, meaning go back to yesterday's daf and go over the case of Rav Yochanan, and I'm not going to go over it again right now, but in other words, I know that I can't go from hekesh to Xerishava. Malamid be hekesh, and meanwhile, if I flipped it around, meaning if I flip Xerishava and hekesh, where Xerishava comes first, followed then by hekesh, so that does work, midi Rav Papa, and I know that from Rav Papa based on yesterday's daf. So basically, let's look at what we learned yesterday. We learned that you can't go from Hekesh to Gzereshava, but you can go from Gzereshava to Hekesh. Now, as I mentioned in my short intro, right, so that obviously it's difficult, meaning why does one direction work but the other direction doesn't work? So again, I don't have the satisfying answers of, well, I understand that, but certainly it is revelatory, meaning we see something based on that. So what do you see over here? You see that going from a Gzereshava to a Hekesh, so that Gzereshava as your starting point, obviously is okay. Again, it's not great, because I can't go Hekesh to Gzereshava, but I can go Gzereshava to Hekesh. So when Hekesh is your second step, so you see that it is a stronger position, even when it follows the okay Gzereshava. I describe it over here as okay, because when it's on the second half, it's not good. But when on the first half, it's okay. So now the Gemara says, "Kavachomer halami mehekesh midatan debei Rav Yishmael." Now the Gemara says, "Now you go back to what we learned yesterday, and actually 2 days ago, where I can go from hekesh to kavachomer." And the Gemara says that was acceptable, and that was based on the teaching of Rav Yishmael. Again, go back over the Gemara to see exactly what the case was. So that works. Eino din shilame behekesh. So how much more so should it be able to be worked over as a hekesh? Again, let's just go over this outside. Meaning from Hekesh, I'll say over the Kavachomer outside. From Hekesh to Gzereshava you can't do. And meanwhile, from Gzereshava to Hekesh you can do. So again, Gzereshava followed then by Hekesh works. So now, if Hekesh to Kavachomer, we know that that works. Kavachomer to Hekesh for sure should work. Meaning if what I have now as that middle, as Kavachomer, middle meaning, that if it works on the back end of a Hekesh, it should for sure work on the front end of a Hekesh, meaning by Gzereshava, it didn't work on the front end, but it worked on the back end. So on a Kavachomer, for sure, a Hekesh with Hekesh to Kavachomer works, so Kavachomer to Hekesh for sure should work. So the Gemara says, so it would be a logical jump to make to conclude, therefore, that a Kavachomer to a Hekesh should, in fact, work. Now the Gemara says, Hanicha, now the Gemara says, now again, go back to what we learned yesterday. That Kavachomer jump only assumes that we can go from Gzereshava to Hekesh. If you remember yesterday's daf on the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf, we're still on yesterday's daf, but if you remember back on Nun Amud Aleph, so that question of whether or not we can go from Gzereshava to Hekesh was actually a machlokus between Rav Papa and Marzutra. And if you remember yesterday's Gemara, the reason why it was a machlokus is because it didn't start in Kachim. Meaning the Kavachomer over there started, I should say better, the Gzereshava over there started by a case of Chulin, and then we moved to Kachim, and is that going to be a good example? And that Rav Papa and Marzutra argued that point. But anyway, Rav Papa concluded that that is in fact a Kachim, it's a Kachim scenario. And so therefore, all this Kavachomer works well according to Rav Papa. Elaman de leisle de Rav Papa, Michael Amemar. But if you don't hold the Rav Papa, meaning you're Marzutra from yesterday's daf, so then the Kavachomer is not going to work. So take it, the Gemara says, you're right. So in other words, so this Kavachomer to get us from a Kavachomer to a Hekesh, and whether or not that works, the Kavachomer would be good, but that's only if you subscribe to Rav Papa. If you don't, so then we don't have a conclusion over here.
Which one do we go by, Marzutra or Rav Papa?
That's a good question. I don't know. Okay, next. So the Gemara says we're now up to the second of the Kavachomers. So now what would be the halacha if we went from a Kavachomer followed by a Gzeira Shava? So Kavachomer, so the Gemara once again is going to employ the same kind of methodology where we're going to try to deduce logically what would happen. And the Gemara says, "Uma gzeira shava she'ena lameda be'hekesh." Now, gzeira shava cannot be learned through a hekesh. Meaning, to jump from hekesh to gzeira shava, that we cannot do, as we learned in yesterday's daf. So, kavachomer. I'm sorry. Let me start again. Kavachomer, "Uma gzeira shava she'ena lameda be'hekesh," with Rav Yochanan. So, and we learned that from Rav Yochanan, going back to yesterday's daf. Melameh b'gzereshava midrami barchama. And meanwhile, to make a jump from gzereshava to gzereshava, that would be fine. Meaning that's also what we learned yesterday's daf. A double gzereshava by kashim would be fine. Kavachomer halamed behekesh. Now, a kavachomer that's learned through a hekesh midatan to be Rav Yishmael, which according to Rav Yishmael, yesterday's daf was acceptable. Eino dinshel talameh b'gzereshava. So, for sure, that should be able to be learned through a gzeirah shava. And again, I'll say it outside. Outside, to jump from hekesh to gzeirah shava, we cannot do. And to jump from gzeirah shava to gzeirah shava, we can do. Meaning, so you see over here that the jump from gzeirah shava to gzeirah shava is an allowable jump, meaning not just a jump, but to learn from A to B, B to C, when A and B are connected through a gzeirah shava, and B to C are connected through a gzeirah shava, that's acceptable, even though going from hekesh to gzeirah shava is not acceptable. So once again, what does it show you? It shows you the strength of gzeirah shava, but only when followed by gzeirah shava. When followed with the weaker hekesh, it does not work. So now, if I'm in the next progression, to go from hekesh to kavachomer, so that does work, meaning we know that that works. So we learned that from the Tanan Debei Rabbi Shmuel. So now, Kavachomer to Gzeira Shava, meaning we've shown that the Kavachomer is strong. And we've shown that Gzeira Shava on the back end also can be strong. So when I put together those two, the Kavachomer then followed by Gzeira Shava, so the Gemara says logically for sure it should work.
In the past, I mean, it was a couple of daftim ago that says Akesh is stronger than
Gzeira Shava. But this is more complex, though. Meaning that was just discussed in a more on a straightforward level. Here we're discussing the interaction between the two, between these two.
Actually, that's the opposite of what Rashi has in his table.
Okay.
By itself, Gzeira Shava,
is the strongest, and Hekesh is the weakest.
Okay, but again, in other words,
by itself,
right? That's why I talk in the beginning about the complexity of the daf. Meaning, in of themselves, yes. But in other words, we're now discussing interaction, and in terms of interaction, we just saw a couple of lines earlier where in one direction it works, and the other direction doesn't work.
So, if you want to prove one thing, if you have three methods, the Eishek is the one to go by. But if you have combination, then that's a problem.
Yeah, in other words,
not a problem. Kavachomer is stronger than Gzeira Shava.
Right. Right. Okay.
What's the whole premise here?
Right. In other words, you're right. In other words, we don't do things. We can't do things without a mesorah. But if we have the mesorah of one and a kavachomer, then you can add onto the Right. Agreed. In other words, no. In other words, it's not. The Gzeira Shava is, let's say, they had a mesorah for Gzeira Shava to go from A to B. And then on top of that, they also can make a Kavachomer. So can I make a Kavachomer from B to C? Or go in the other direction. I made a Kavachomer from A to B, and then you had a mesorah of Gzeira Shava from B to C. Okay? So, number three of the Kavachomers. Zevar lemme b'kavachomer, ashe lemme kavachomer. So a double Kavachomer. So can we use a double Kavachomer? So here probably is going to be the most complicated section of this entire unit. And that is the double Kavachomer. The Gemara says Kavachomer. So now think about what we're exploring right now. A compound Kavachomer, and we're learning it through the method of Kavachomer. Now, if that, you know, in other words, we're going to...
Double dipping?
Not by double dipping, but the Gemara is eventually going to be offended by that. Meaning by trying to deduce what would be the conclusion of a Kavachomer based on a Kavachomer, using a Kavachomer. And the Gemara says, Kavachomer, Kavachomer, Kavachomer. So the Gemara says, well, we're going to deduce it using the method of Kavachomer. Umag Zeira Shava, She'ena lemeida be'ekeshta mid Rav Yochanan. So again, we'll start off with some things that we are that are given that are known. We know that to go from hekesh to gzeira sheva, we cannot do based on Rav Yochanan yesterday's daf. Malame be'kavachomer kedamaran. And meanwhile, if we were to go kavachomer to gzeira sheva, that would be acceptable. As we concluded earlier, so the Gemara says now, as we concluded earlier, meaning basically as we just concluded, meaning the Gemara in the previous set of going from Kavachomer to Gzeira Shava, so the Gemara arrived at that conclusion. But how did the Gemara arrive at that conclusion? Via Kavachomer, we arrived at that conclusion. So now what the Gemara is doing is the Gemara now is taking that conclusion and plugging it into this Kavachomer. So to go from Hekesh to Gzeira Shava, we cannot do. But meanwhile, to go from Kavachomer to Gzeira Shava, we can do, which again shows you the strength of a Kavachomer to Gzeira Shava. So now, Kavachomer Halam and Mehekesh Medtan de Be'er Vishmael. I'm sorry. Kavachomer Halam and Mehekesh Medtan de Be'er Rav Yishmael. So now I know I can go Hekesh Kavachomer from that which we learned from Rav Yishmael. Ain't no din shilame be Kavachomer. So now, can't we therefore argue that a kavachomer compound on top of a kavachomer should work? Meaning, if a kavachomer is together with a gzeira shava is in fact going to work, and we've also concluded that a hekesh kavachomer should work, so a kavachomer going to another kavachomer, which again has strength on the front end and on the back end, so that for sure should work. So the Gemara says, "Vizel kavachomer ben kavachomer." So the Gemara says, "Now this is a double kavachomer. It's a derivative of a kavachomer." The Gemara says, "Wait 1 second. I could say even better. Ben benosho kavachomer. What do you mean? It's just a derivative kavachomer. It is a double derivative of a kavachomer. Meaning that in order to arrive at this conclusion, we had to take the kavachomer conclusion of the previous case, then plug it in over here, and then use a kavachomer over here in order to arrive at that conclusion. So in other words, we are taking the. I'm just going to restate it. I know it's confusing. I know it's complicated, but we're taking the conclusion of the previous set, meaning the question of kavachomer to gzeira shava, and the only way we arrived at that conclusion is using a kavachomer to arrive at that conclusion. We're taking that conclusion, plugging it in now at this point in time, and then by applying it over here, we're then going to use a method of kavachomer to arrive at the conclusion that a double kavachomer would be good. So that is a kavachomer built on top of another kavachomer using the method of kavachomer, and basically at this point in time, the Gemara says, enough. Meaning, there's only so much kavachomer that you can apply, where at that point in time, it's too much of it is built on kavachomer that it's not, the structure is just not, it's not stable enough. So, Ella, kavachomer. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're now going to go through another round. Basically, again, the question on the table is, compounded kavachomer, how would that work out? So the Gemara suggests like this. So let's start like this. A hekesh is not learned via hekesh, meaning you can't compound hekeshim. That was, in fact, what started us going on this whole sugya, if you go back 2 days ago. So a hekesh cannot be learned on top of a hekesh, but imi the rava, imi the ravina. And we learned it either from rava or ravina. That takes us back to Mem Testament base. Malamid bekavachomer, miditan debe ravi shmoel. And but meanwhile, to go hekesh to kavachomer, that does work. That was learned out from tan debe ravi shmoel. Kavachomer halamid mehekesh. Miditan debe Rav Yishmael, so a kavachomer which can in fact be learned from a hekesh as we learned through Rav Yishmael, einu din shalame be kavachomer. The Gemara says for sure should be learned, should be based on a kavachomer. Meaning again, hekesh to hekesh is no good. Hekesh to kavachomer, that is good. So once again, it shows you the strength of a kavachomer where if I take it and I plug it in, as instead of the second hekesh, the second step being a kavachomer, that does work. So now, if I know that hekesh to kavachomer works, then I just simply sub out the first hekesh with a kavachomer, that for sure should work. Vizeo kavachomer, ben kavachomer. And this is a kavachomer derived through a kavachomer, which the Gemara says it's more stable than what we said previously. Because previously it was ben benosha kavachomer, because you needed that. You, in order to arrive previously at it, I needed to plug in a case which we only learned through kavachomer in order to arrive at this conclusion. Here, it's a little bit more stable. And finally, davar alame be kavachomer, ma'ash alame be binyanav. So the Gemara says, what about a kavachomer learned through a, what about a binyanav learned through a kavachomer? Or to say it better, in other words, A to B is kavachomer and B to C is a binyanav. So would that be okay? Would that be allowable when it comes to kachim? Amar of Yirmiyahu Tashma. So here we're going to actually spend a little bit more time on this particular one because seemingly we do have a case scenario. Gemara says like this. Before we start with the actual case inside, so let's go over some basic information that we already know, but let's reacquaint ourselves. In the Beis HaMikdash, when you are outside, let's start with outside the Beis HaMikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, so when you want to eat either an animal or birds, it requires shechita. That we all know. Shechita really accomplishes two things. One is that it allows us to eat the animal. Two is that it prevents the animal from becoming tummy. An animal that is not shechted properly and dies without a proper shechita is going to be tameya, right? Behemoth tameya. So the animal will give off tumma. Not only will the animal give off tumma, but being that it's a behema, it's a strong tumma. How do I know it's strong? Because it gives off tummas both maga and masa. You touch the animal, and even if you carry the animal without touching it, so you're going to contract tumma by coming into contact with it. So when you're shechting an animal, giving it a proper shechita, so two things occur. One, you're allowed to eat it. Two, it prevents tumma from coming on it. By birds, same basic idea. In other words, when you shech the bird, so it allows you two things. It allows you to eat the bird, and also it prevents tumma coming on from a bird. Now, if a bird's not shechted, and it dies without a shechita, so the bird is tame. Now, the bird being tame, it's an interesting form of tumma. How do you contract the tumma from a bird that didn't die with a shechita, that wasn't shechted? So the way that it contracts the tumma is tumma's beis abliya. In other words, touching the bird doesn't do anything, picking the bird up doesn't do anything. In other words, you have to swallow a kazais of the bird in order to get tummy. Now, it's a strange type of tumma. First of all, it's strange because it's unprecedented. We don't have this elsewhere. And tumma, it's also strange because you're not allowed to eat the bird, meaning the bird wasn't shechted properly. So in other words, in addition to violating the avera of not eating a shechted bird, on top of that also, you're also going to be slapped with the tumma. But the Torah, it's a Torah's tumma. This is tumma beis abliya. Okay, so shechita really accomplishes that goal. Now, just one other prefatory note, and that is in the Beis HaMikdash, when it comes to birds, the animals are shechted the same way in the Beis HaMikdash as out, right? With a knife slid across the neck. But when it comes to birds, how are birds shechted in the Beis HaMikdash? Through a process known as malika. Now, it's really interesting and confusing, because if I were to do malika with a chulin bird outside the Beis HaMikdash, the bird would be a nevela, right? In other words, I'm going through the back of the neck instead of the front of the neck. He's going with his fingernail, which is not really the issue. In other words, you can shech with any hard instrument. In other words, it doesn't have to be a knife, right? It could be a blade of grass if it's sharp enough. So in other words, but the problem with malika is that you are going through the back of the neck. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, the bird would be an avela. The bird would not be shechted. But in other words, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah demands that the Kohanim, when they do malika, they do it with their thumbnail in the back of the neck of the bird. And that is shechita vis-a-vis bird in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Now, the case over here that we are dealing with is as follows. Malak v'nimtza treifa. So let's say the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash did malika, but the bird turns out to be a treifa. So the bird turns out to be a treifa, and that of course means that you can't eat the bird. Meaning, in other words, aside from the fact that, despite the fact that it was quote-unquote shechted properly, but it's a treifa, you can't eat it. Okay, good, so you can't eat it. Now, does that mean the tumma also is going to be there or not going to be there? Is the tumma going to be present or not going to be present? So this is really a brain teaser. Because had you done this outside of the Beis HaMikdash, I mean, the bird would have been a nevela. I mean, so in other words, outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's not even a recognized shechita. So in the Beis HaMikdash, it is a recognized shechita. Because the Torah tells us this is how the Kohanim is supposed to do it. So do we say that in the Beis HaMikdash, malika equals shechita? Meaning basically, this is shechita substitute. This is what the Torah calls shechita in the Beis HaMikdash. Or do we say no? In other words, we say, look, Torah tells us to prepare this way, and this is the way you're supposed to prepare it. But in other words, it's not shechita. Don't call it shechita. And if I can't eat the bird, maybe tumma is going to go right into the bird, meaning the bird will be a source of tumma. So this is a question. And Malach v'nimtza treifa, Rabbi Meir Omer, ena matame beis abliya. So Rabbi Meir says it's not tumeya, meaning the bird is not a source of tumma. Why? Because Rabbi Meir takes the position that malika is shechita. Meaning, hainu hach, it's the same thing. In other words, in the Beis HaMikdash by the Kohanim, this is how the Torah demands the Kohanim to shecht. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to shecht it. So therefore, malika equals shechita. So despite the fact that the bird is a treifa and you can't eat it, but you, again, I'm going to put this in quotes, you shechted it correctly. And so therefore, it's not going to be tuma beis abliya. Rav Yehuda amar tumeya be beis abliya. And Rav Yehuda says, no, it's tumeya. The bird is a source of tuma. Now, amar Rav Meir kavachomer. So now, for Rav Meir to argue his position, he's going to argue it using a kavachomer. Now it says, let's start with an animal. Now we know that if animal is not shechted properly, so it's going to be tummy, and wow, is it going to be tummy. meaning both tumah with maga and masa. And meanwhile, with a proper shechita, what do? You prevent that tumah coming on, even though that would have been a harsher tumah, it would have been a stronger tumah, but shechita prevents the tumah. Now, the carcass of a bird. So the tumah that it could be is not going to be as strong. In other words, okay, it could be tame, but the level of tumah is only bebeis abliya. It's not mag, it's not masa. The Gemara assumes it's a weaker tumah. So now if I were to shech the bird, so it doesn't stand to argue that I can prevent that tumah from coming on. And look, and we're preventing a weaker tumah. It's not even such a strong tumah. So mamatzino. Okay, so that now is step one. Step one is the kal v'chomer. So now the kal v'chomer at step number one doesn't involve a carbon in the base of mikdash. Meaning the kal v'chomer just simply details what would happen if I shechted an animal, prevent tumah from coming on. If I shech the bird, for sure I should prevent tumah. And again, the kal v'chomer is based on the fact that the tumah of an animal is stronger, the tumah of a bird is weaker. If shechita prevents tumah of an animal, shechita for sure should prevent tumah of a bird. Good. That's step one. That's the kal v'chomer. So A to B is the kal v'chomer. Good. Now we go B to C. Me'matzinu. And what are we using in order to go from B to C? Binyanav. Matzinu b'shechita shemachsharata ba'achila mitaresa treifasa mitumasa af malika shemachsharasa ba'achila tetayer treifasa mitumasa. And now the binyanav over here, what a solid binyanav. Meaning, what do we find? We find that the method in which permits us to eat, to consume the animal, is going to be the method in which prevents the tumah. In the base of mikdash, what's the method of eating the animal? Malika. So if the method of eating the animal is malika, so that should also prevent the tumah from coming. So we have now created a kal v'chomer, then move a transition over to a binyanav, and going from kal v'chomer to binyanav, it allows us to arrive at the conclusion, Rav Meir at the conclusion that you can do that. You can go kal v'chomer binyanav. And we're talking about kachim over here. Now, it's not 100% kachim. Let's acknowledge. Meaning, it's really a question of tumah. Meaning, whether or not the bird is tame or not. But we are talking about a bird in the Beis HaMikdash using the methodology of Malika. So, in other words, granted the question over here isn't strictly kachim. It's kachim plus a little bit of taharos. But in other words, but the Gemara feels that this is a good example of kachim, where we're learning kal v'chomer and we're going to binyanav. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, daya kinivlas behemas tahara, shishchata samatarasa v'lo milikasa. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, I'd stop with shechita. But I wouldn't go past shechita. Meaning, I can only go so far as shechita. But in other words, for shechita to stop tama, I'm with you. But over here, not malika, meaning malika is something totally different. So in other words, I hear the argument that shechita is going to stop tumah, but I'm not going to hear the argument that malika is going to stop the tumah, is going to prevent the tumah. Fine, and that's the shita of Rav Yossi. And what I know, and I'm not perfectly sharing with you, is that really there are three shitas in the matter. Meaning, there's Rav Meir, there's Rav Yehuda, and there's Rav Yossi. They actually represent three shitas, not two shitas. And you can see the Rashi on the bottom of the previous someone who discusses that. Right now, I'd like to stay more focused on just the aspect of what we're trying to accomplish. What we're trying to accomplish right now is to see whether or not we can go kal v'chomer for A to B, and then from B to C, whether we can do binyanav. And Rav Meir is clearly advocating that you can. Now again, Rav Yossi is arguing, and Rav Yehuda is arguing, all that's true, but Rav Meir says methodologically, it's allowable. And that's exactly the part that we want to focus on. The Gemara says, V'lohi, ha'asam ta'avihi, mishchita dechulin ka'asyan. And so the Gemara says, now, I'm not in love with the proof, because where did the kal v'chomer start from? It started from a behemoth chulin. Meaning, remember, the kal v'chomer was, if shechita is able to prevent tumah on a behemoth chulin, so for sure it should prevent tumah on a bird chulin. And then the binyanav takes us from a bird chulin to a malika scenario. But in other words, the start of the whole process was not kachim. It started from chulin, and that goes back to yesterday's daf, the machlokus between Rav Papa and Marzutra. Meaning that if in the ABC, one of them, or let's say the first one is chulin, and then it segues over into kachim, is this now considered part of the you can't make double limudim? Or is this not part of the discussion of you can't make double limudim? And as if you remember yesterday, that was a debate between Rav Papa and Marzutra, and the Gemara says the same thing over here. It would be the debate between Rav Papa and Marzutra. Okay, and finally, Davar Halamed, not finally. Davar Halamed bibinyanav ma'ushi lamed behekesh. Sorry, yeah, no, I'm right. And finally, Davar Lamed Bibinyanav. Okay, so now, if you've been following, good. So we've gone now in the order of, we've just Hekesh and all the permutations. we went Gzeira Shavah with all permutations, Kal V'chomer followed with all four permutations, and now we're up to Binyanav with all four permutations. But the truth of the matter is that if Binyanav is your starting point, it can't double compound seemingly with anything. Now, Davar Alame Binyanav Ma'u Shilame Behekish of Gzeira Shavah V'Kal V'chomer. And the Gemara over here, instead of going through each one by themselves, the Gemara just simply says, what can I do with a binyanav, followed then by either a hekesh or a gzeir shavar or a kavachomer or a binyanav, meaning a binyanav built on top of another binyanav. So, pashu mehachad. So the Gemara says, look, as far as all four, Gemara basically says, I don't know. But one of the four, perhaps we could say, and that is as follows. Mimnei ma'amrulan bidan kasher. How do I know that Lina Badam is going to be kasher? Now, this takes us to a later point on the Masechta, God willing, we're going to get to, and that is that certain things don't go onto the Mizbeach, but once on top of the Mizbeach is collate. It accepts it, it is Ola Ve'eno Yorid, meaning once it goes up, it doesn't come back down again. Okay, that Mizbeach has the power to absorb and to collect things which shouldn't have gone up in the first place, but once up there, so it stays up there. Included in this is Dam that experienced Lina. Meaning, Dam, when you shaft the animal during the day, the blood has to be sprinkled that day. If your sun sets, you cannot sprinkle the blood anymore on the Mizbeach at that point in time. It's past due. And past due meaning, but in this case, not past due and okay, past due and you shouldn't sprinkle it. But once the Dam is put up onto the Mizbeach, it stays there. So, Mimnei Ma'amru Lan B'Dam Kasher Sha'arei. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you how I know that. Because Lan B'Imurim Kasher, because I know that when the Imurim, even though it's also past due, meaning by the Imurim are going up during the day and also the night following as well. Meaning you could burn the Imurim through the day and the night as well. And meanwhile, if let's say in next morning, Imurim cannot go up onto the Mizbeach. If they do, they get to stay on the Mizbeach. Now, V'lan b'Imurim kasher, sha'arei lan b'basar kasher. Now the Gemara says, now how do I know that the Imurim, if put up on the next day, stays up on the Mizbeach? Because I know it because of the basar. The meat of a Karvei Shlamim, if it's put up on day two, so it's kasher. Or I should say, let me say a little bit simpler. Meaning the meat of Shlamim on day two is going to be kasher. So if meat on day two is going to be kasher, so then the Imurim would be okay, and therefore the Dam would be okay. So what we basically did is, we jump binyanav. Okay. So the Shlamim, just sharpen your question a little bit better. Meaning, meat on day two of a Shlamim is perfectly acceptable.
But it doesn't go on the Mizbeach.
And on top of that, it doesn't even go on the Mizbeach. Okay, question is excellent. The Imurim of the Shlamim go.
Yeah.
But in other words, the Gemara now, the Binyanav goes from Imurim to Basar. Okay, so your question is excellent. In fact, it's so good, the Gemara is going to raise it. So hold that thought. Yotzei. Hold the yotze kasher b'mama. Now, as far as yotze is concerned, if I took an animal that after shechtin, part of the animal has left the azara, so can that go up onto the mizbeach? The answer is, of course, is it shouldn't. It's disqualified. That's the psul of yotze. But if it goes onto the mizbeach, it stays on the mizbeach. Why? Because kasher b'mama. Because precedented elsewhere where there is no yotze. Now, again, I can ask you the same question, meaning by bama siachin, which, again, we're going to be discussing in greater detail later on. Historically, there were times where you can offer carbon in your backyard, and there's no curtains surrounding your backyard. I mean, there may be a fence, but that doesn't, halachically, that doesn't mean anything. Meaning, it can be taken anywhere. There is no confined perimeter in terms of where the meat can go, and where the imurim can go, and where the blood can go. So since there's no yotze by Obama, so therefore, if something that did experience yotze goes up onto the mizbeach, it stays on the mizbeach. Also, let's say the disqualification is Tama, so it shouldn't go up on the Mizbech, but if it does, it stays there. Why? Because we know that there's a dispensation when it comes to Tama. Tama Hutra B'Tzibor. And Chutzuz Mano, Hol Meratza L'Pigulo. Chutzuz Mano, in other words, a carbon that undergone Pigul, should it go on the Mizbech? The answer is no. Once it goes, should it stay there? Yes. Why? Hol Meratza L'Pigulo. It's a really bizarre argument, which we've seen already a number of times, so we're kind of used to it. Meaning, look, pigul's a bad thing. But at the same time, however, in other words, how do you get to the point of pigul? By finishing off the avodah bekashrus. So in other words, even though it's going to end up leading to pigul, but you see that there is significance and effectiveness to doing the remainder of the avodah. So you see that's meratzel pigulo, therefore, if it goes on the mizbech, it stays. Chutzim kama over hokish le chutz lezmano. Chutzim kama also, if it's put up on the mizbech, it stays on the mizbech. Why? Because it's the first cousins with chutz lezmano. So chutz lezmano goes up, it stays up. So does chutzim kama. And first cousin, by the way, hopefully you understand. I meant that loosely, not literally. And shekibul psulim v'zarku daman b'hanach psulim dechazul avodat tzibur. And also, if a pasul were to be mekapel the blood, or let's say it was sprinkled by someone who is unfit, so even though those karbanos should not go on the mizbech, if they do go up on the mizbech, it stays there. Why? Because chazul avodat tzibur. Because under certain circumstances, a pasul can do the avoda. Let's say by Tumah Hotra B'tzibur. V'chi danan. Now the Gemara, after making all these arguments, basically, disqualification shouldn't go on the Mizbech, but if they go, they can stay there. Why? Because under certain circumstances, it is acceptable. So in other words, you see that there's a little bit of cushion. Okay. So the Gemara says now, V'chi danan davar shelo be'achsher medavar she'achshero. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Of the various arguments that we made, two of them, I'm saying over the Gemara like Rashi right now, two of them for sure are like just bizarre arguments, right? One of the arguments was, how do I know that the Imurim, having experienced Lina, can go up onto the Mizbech, but once they go up on the Mizbech, they stay on the Mizbech. So the argument was built on, well, the Basar the next day is Kasher. Okay, but the Basar the next day is Kasher. And from there, I'm going to learn now the Imurim that undergone Lina that are Pasul. How can I learn something pasul from something kosher? That doesn't make any sense. And Rashi also points out, you can make the same argument vis-a-vis Yotze. Meaning, we learned it from Bama. From Bama, it's perfectly acceptable. So I'm going to learn out something which is perfectly acceptable to something which is not acceptable, meaning Yotze in the base of Mikdash. Meaning, these are really strange arguments. So the Gemara says, Tana mizos taros ha'ola riba samichle. So the Gemara acknowledges and the Gemara concedes and the Gemara says, you're right. Meaning this is not really the sources for any of these halachas. The source for these halachas are a drasha. A drasha, as we get to the later part of the Masechta, we're going to learn these drashas much better. We're going to say over the drashas much better. And the Gemara basically acknowledges, you are right. It's not a limud. It's not a limud built on top of a limud. It's based on drashas. So as we go over the fourth round, the Gemara covers the fourth round really quickly. Binyanav, compounded with anything, Hekesh, Gzereshava, Kavachomer, or another Binyanav. Does that work? The Gemara thought maybe Binyanav on top of Binyanav works. The Gemara ends up acknowledging, no, that's not the case. Meaning we don't have a source for that. So the Gemara basically, if Binyanav is your starting point, can it compound with anything else? The Gemara doesn't conclude, but seemingly the answer is no. And that's it. And that is the end of, quite frankly, a complicated set of Gemaras. In other words, from a macro scale, you know exactly what the Gemara is trying to accomplish, which double limudim are acceptable, which are not. The Gemara covered all 16 different permutations, right? It's 4 squared. So so all 16 permutations the Gemara covered, and then it's just a question of which ones work, which ones don't work, and in terms of, you try to find a rhyme or a reason in terms of the interaction base, it's a chemistry lab. Meaning, you know, in other words, if I take this and I put it together with this, what am I going to end up with? And so sometimes yes, sometimes no. And, you know, I certainly don't, I haven't discovered a pattern in terms of why things work, why they don't. And then again, the larger question, which again, I don't have an answer to, why are we more restrictive when it comes to kashrut in terms of how many limudim we can make? So it'd be wonderful to present a general approach as to why we are more restricted, more limited.
And the table that Art Scroll has seems to have a pattern in terms of the strength of the Kavachomer, everything can be derived from address. Hekesh is not.
Right, Kavachomer. Right. Kavachomer seems to have the most accessibility. There's more of a success rate with Kavachomer. Agreed. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, let's do a little bit more for this morning. The Amud Beis, as you can see, is really short. So I'll end on the Amud Aleph, but tomorrow we'll make up ground. The Shayari Adam Aitaima, the blood of the Chatzos HaPanimios, after having sprinkled in the Kodesh, in the Heichal, so then it's taken out, and whatever's left over is now going to be poured on the outside Mizbeach, on the Yisod, on the base, on the outside Mizbeach. Where? On the western side. Now, if you are following the Azara very well, so you know that as you are leaving the Heichal, first of all, you're headed in an eastward trajectory, or eastbound. As you are leaving now the Heichal, you are exiting through the Ulam, through the foyer, large foyer, and you are now you're exiting, and as you now are headed out, the first thing you're going to be seeing is the Mizbeach. And which side of the Mizbeach are you looking at right now? You're looking at the west side of the Mizbeach. So now where are you depositing the blood? On the bottom of the southwest corner. But in other words, you're hitting the blood on the west side. So the Shayari Dam is pouring on the west side. My Taima, Gemara over here asks a really simple question. How do I know that? Amakra, El Yisrael Mizbeach Ola Asher Pesach Ola Moed. The Yisrael Mizbeach, that is opposite Pesach Ola Moed. So how the Paga Bereisha? And it's the first one you're encountering. So since it's the first one you're encountering, so then in other words, that's the part of the Mizbeach that you're going to be pouring the Shayari Hadam, whatever leftover blood there is going to be. So the Gemara says that's how we know that it's on the west side of the Mizbeach. And again, more accurately, it's on the southwest of the Mizbeach, but the more critical component is on the west side of the Mizbeach. Okay, Adkan. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick it up from this point in time, Tana Rabbanan. You'll see, the Amud Beis, it's quick. Tosos takes care of a lot of the Amud Beis tomorrow. But we'll pick it up from this point going forward.